I'm John Jochen. I live in East Douglas. I've lived there for 30 years with my wife. I've got my children have grown up in East Douglas. The place is very close to my heart. That's why I want to stand in the general election on September the 23rd and represent the people of East Douglas where I've lived. I've also had some experience in the past. I've been a Douglas Town Councillor on and off for 8 years, sat on various committees and chairs. I was also an MHK in the previous government, albeit just short of a year, and I've been the Mayor of Douglas for the past 3 years, which has been my honour and privilege to represent Douglas, the whole of Douglas, as its leading citizen.
So you previously held a role as an MHK back in 2016. Why do you feel that you got voted out?
It was a very tight battle. It was a lot of people stood in it, and I think it divided the vote a lot. And I only just lost, I'll point out. But however, I persevered. I went back into politics. I had a big mandate when I got elected into the council. I took that as a yes vote, and I did my best that I could for the council to serve the people of Douglas still. And it certainly paid off, because within a couple of years I was made up to mayor. And I took that role on, and I've took it on for 3 years. It's been extremely demanding. Especially on my wife, but we've managed to fulfill it, and it's, like I say, it's been an honour to do it.
But in terms of the specific reasons as to why, do you remember what they were? Were they made clear to you at the time?
I think the vote was divided. It was because there were so many people standing. From what I can remember, I think there was 10 candidates. I don't think... none of the, even the successful candidates didn't have a huge majority when they were elected out of the total poll. But I just thought I had an unfinished business. I wanted to get back in. I thought I could do something at the national level, and I'm back here to have another go.
Now, you've spent several years now, obviously, at local authority level, of course. You've been the Mayor of Douglas for the last few years. You've also had, as you say, you've had roles within committees and whatnot. What makes you feel that you can step up to the plate this time as an MHK?
Well, the difference perhaps with me and perhaps some of the other candidates is there won't be a learning period, which there is for all new candidates, no matter what they say. They have to find their way around government. It's not an easy thing to do, and I've already achieved that. I know the people in government, I've worked with them in government, and I've worked with them on a local level, and I've worked with them as an MHK. I've also worked with them even when I was a union representative back in the old days in the post office. So I won't be tiptoeing around. I've got an agenda, and I know what I want to do, and I'll be in there.
You say you've managed to achieve that. What is that exactly that you've achieved?
Well, it's the knowledge of knowing government. If you know nothing about it and you know nothing about the civil service, then you'll have to find out yourself. There isn't a book you can go to and say, this is how to be an MHK. You have to find out. And nobody's going to tell you. None of your colleagues are going to tell you how to do it. You have to find out yourself.
And what are the big things that you found out from that over time that you think that maybe in government could probably do with some change or strengthening?
Yeah, I don't want to reinvent the wheel when I go into government. If I get into government, sorry. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I don't want to change the system. I don't want to think. Every government system is imperfect. From Westminster to the Channel Islands to America, every political system is different. I want to work with the system that we've got and make our island a better place.
You say you want to work with the system, but you say you don't want to change things. Now, as you've pointed out, no system is perfect. We know that. But at the same time, anyone, who is looking to see their elected member in, say, the House of Keys and Tynwald will probably want to see them pushing for at least something different if they've been unhappy previously. So do you think you would do that, or do you not want to see
There's some
change?
Things about the government that I'm not happy about. Okay, so one of them is the MLCs, and they're not being elected. I think there is a format to have elected MLCs. I mean, the irony of this is we have a current sitting MLC who's elected by MHKs saying they can do a better job than MHKs and is going to stand for an MHK. I mean, that's ironic. You don't shoot the messenger, do you? You don't. I mean, that is an imperfect system. So, I mean, there has to be a better system to elect our upper house. I agree with the second house, but it should be elected. So I can't do that on my own. I need all the MHKs to come on board with me. So people that come here and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other, they don't. They have to work with the other MHKs that are there and that they, if they want to change it. So it would be foolish for any MHK say they're going to do whatever they're going to do, because they need at least another 12 MHKs with them to do it.
You will have your own, obviously, objectives if you are elected. So are you saying that you would have to rely heavily on other MHKs getting behind your ideas, or could you drive them forward yourself a bit more?
It's like any negotiation. You have to bring them on board. You know, you have to prove your point. You have to put yourself forward and prove that you're right and get the support. It's like being elected. You have to get the support of the people behind you, and you have to get the support of the MHKs as well. I mean, Douglas, as a town, is not represented properly in the House of Keys. We've only got 8 members. So the rest of the out-of-town members govern Tymwald and the House of Keys. And then you look at the chief, the ministers. We've got one Douglas MHK as a minister. They're not being represented properly in Douglas. And the new chief minister needs to be told that.
How many MHKs do you think do need to be in the Douglas areas to start to make a difference?
Well, if you just do the maths, there has to be at least 3 ministers in Coleman. If there's 9, then there has to be a third of them has to come from Douglas. We can't have it. We have this. Look at the promenade. The biggest project that's happened in over 100 years in Douglas, okay? And we haven't got anybody from Douglas East involved in it. We haven't even got a Douglas MHK involved in it. I mean, that is a disgrace. They've not been represented properly, the people of Douglas. I mean, they're screaming on the radio. They all want to go on the select committee to look into it, but they haven't been involved in it. They've washed their hands of it. And that's not right.
If asked about it, would you get involved in the Douglas Promenade Scheme if you were elected to Douglas East?
I was involved in the Douglas Promenade Scheme. I was in that department. It was on my desk. I was happy to take it forward.
And do you believe that you've done what you can so far, and do you believe you can add more to it if you're elected?
If elected, the first thing I'll say is I'm not going to sit on the back bench and just throw bombs in, you know, and stir up trouble. You don't achieve anything sitting on the back bench. You have to be involved. You have to be part of a government. You have to make something. You have to build something and be a part of it. I don't sitting on the back bench doing nothing. That's to me, it's the easy option out.
Speaking of that, just going to your general ambitions, should you be elected, could you give us a summary of some of the main priorities you've got?
Well, I'll stick with Douglas first, OK? Douglas is traffic and it's parking. There is no traffic management system in Douglas. There never has been. It's just like the government pension scheme. It's just make it up as you go. There isn't. They need a proper review and a proper traffic management scheme put in by the DOI and Gary Thomas, the police. And also all the brownfield sites in Douglas. You know, they've been lying here for 30 years. They're like bomb sites. They're blot on the capital. Now, ironically, just before an election, we've got the Brownfield Sites Committee just emerged last week. You know, a load of civil servants on top salaries. I just hope it's not another government quango that they'll look into and we'll just pour money into it. They need to be answerable to the people of Douglas. And what are we doing with these brownfield sites? Are we putting them back in the community? Are we putting young people in houses in here? What are we doing with these brownfield sites? I just don't want a committee to go away for 3 years and have a little chat about it. They should be brought back in. Nationally, I think the big thing on my horizon is the ticking bomb, I call it, which is pensions. I mean, pensions and pension poverty is a reality now, today, right now. And it's going to get worse in the years to come. You know, we just had the minimum wage and the living wage. We had that little debate about that. A pensioner gets £180 a week. So if they haven't got a private scheme, that's £180 a week. So you've got to pay their rent, got to pay for their utilities, their gas and electricity, their food on £180 a week. The minimum wage is, well, I've got it here, sorry. Minimum wage is £305 per week for a 37-hour week. The living wage is £377 a week. That's the minimum that you can live on by the government. But why are we getting £180 a week for pensioners?
You mentioned those numbers there, and that's where it stands at the moment. Yeah. How are you going to be able to improve that situation if it's something that, particularly by at least by the sounds of it anyway, is something that's quite close to your heart?
It is close to my heart, because what we're doing is we're closing all these private schemes. They're jumping ship, all these private schemes, and we're going to have a generation of people coming along in 20, 30 years' time living off a government pension. And it's not good enough. So what are we going to do to address this? We need to set up a government scheme that all employers can pay into. So if you move from one small shop to another small shop, you can take that scheme with you and both employers have to pay into it. A local government scheme that when you're working, you can pay into it to subsidise your government pension. And then we need to look at making the government pension bigger, because it's not good enough at the moment. And if you ask the people that are working, would they be prepared to pay £5 extra into their scheme, or £2 or £3 or whatever, they would. But it's too late once the 40 years are up. That's your pension and you're stuck with it.
Just going back to something that you mentioned before, Douglas Promenade. Obviously, as we know, it's had its setbacks, it's had its challenges, it's had criticism from some. We're seeing extended delays coming along. We've obviously had the roundel that's caused a lot of debate amongst motorists. Looking at decisions like that, are there any things that you would have done differently had you been in charge of that promenade scheme?
Well, I can't think something like that. I mean, that's an ifs and buts one, you know. But however, what I will say about the Manx people and their little curiosities is I can have the roundabout at the bus station. They didn't like that one. They didn't like the one at the sea terminal. They didn't like the traffic lights at the bottom of Broadway when they were installed. And they hated the one at B&Q. Somebody put a for sale sign in the middle of the one at B&Q. Manx motorists don't like change. It is a roundabout. You will get used to it. And it's built now, so we have to get on with what we've got.
But think as though you said there's several decisions there that, you know, there seems to be a trend that people don't like it. Have, you know, you as someone who obviously, you know, lives in Douglas East, knows the people well, have you spoken to them beforehand to see what would actually improve that situation if there's a trend of people not being happy with road setups like the promenade?
I mean, I'm very lucky. In my previous job, I was a postman, so I got to see everybody in Douglas. At the moment, I'm retired. I have a little part-time job. I drive a taxi, so everybody that gets in the taxi tells me about the promenade, what they're doing, what they're having. Okay, so we make it round instead of oval, the roundabout. I mean, will it make any difference, you know? So, it doesn't look right. It is a little bit quirky. It's a little bit funny. It might become popular after a while. I don't know. But, I mean, as for the traffic management system, how it works, you won't know until it goes live. And then, I mean, the actual infrastructure of that promenade is built. There's nothing I or you can do about it, unless you want to redig it all up again. And that, we don't want to go back there, do we?
I suppose the point I'm going to try and get at with the promenade in general is the fact that it is, you know, smack bang in the middle of that constituency. It doesn't just affect the residents there. That is a main route in and out of the capital.
I mean, I think, you know, and I'm sorry, I'll hop back to it again. I don't think Douglas East has been represented properly because it hasn't had anybody that lives in Douglas East. They haven't had to deal with the problems that the people that live here have had. You know, they haven't communicated properly with the businesses along that promenade. They've had a pretty rough time. They've had COVID as well. And basically, when the government does get up and running, it's all about getting back on our feet, pulling together, giving it the old Dunkirk spirit that we've had over this past couple of years. And we need to get these businesses up and running, especially the hospitality, especially the hotels on that promenade. They need help, and as much help as we can give them.
Speaking of those hospitality businesses, on the likes of the promenade, obviously they've been hit hard
by the
pandemic. Have they mentioned anything to you in particular? Do you feel that they'd have confidence in you to help improve that situation?
Well, as my duty as mayor, I invited them all in, or as many groups as I could in, from the hospitality, the licensed victuallers, the nurses, the frontline, the police, everybody that was involved in the pandemic. I tried to thank them as much as I could. So you get to speak to them. They have had a very, very bad time, and we need to help them as much as we can. I know the Treasury Minister has put his hand in his pocket, whether he can put his hand on his pocket a bit more. I don't know. I have to look at that if I get elected.
Do you feel the support's been adequate so far?
For some, not for others. I think particularly the hospitality. I think the hospitality have had it particularly bad. I've spoken to them. I went outside Tynwald with the licensed victuallers to help them with their protests, you know, put a bit of profile to them. I don't know how they're getting on with the Treasury Minister, but I think particularly they were hit bad. I mean, you've got to remember, if somebody starts up in business, I mean, I was in business myself, and if this was to hit me when I started up within a year, it would have wiped me out. Completely would have wiped me out. But I mean, it's some of the more long-established businesses, they might be able to survive it, you know, because they've probably got a bit more in reserve. But the ones that were set up, just set up, they're the ones that have hurt the most. I mean, in the corporation, we did give business holidays for their rent for the first pandemic, the first lockdown, to help the businesses, all the businesses that we have, shops in Pulrose and Williston and different places like that, they all had a holiday on their rent in the first bit to help them. But, I mean, I'm not part of the government. I can't do what they have to do. I can't do that till I get there.
And in terms of just sticking with business at the moment, obviously Douglas High Street is one of the big popular places on Ireland in terms of, you know, the island's local trade. And obviously we saw, we've seen over the last, I think it was around 6 to 9 months, we saw a couple of top brands leaving the high street, which is sad to see. How do you maintain a high street like Douglas in the grand scheme of things, not just for Douglas East, but for the island, in the face of so much of our shopping being online these days? How do you provide assurances to a lot of those businesses along there?
You know, there's good and bad come out of it. I noticed during the lockdown, I was starting to order food in from businesses that I knew. We'd have a couple of Howard o'clock nights, and then we'd order some food in from restaurants that don't normally do takeaways. But I've spoken to them now, and even now the lockdown's been lifted, they're still doing takeaways. They found some extra business they didn't know they had. So that from that point of view is good. I mean, as regards to the shops, yeah, those big brands have gone. There's a couple of big holes there with those big shops. But as mayor, I've opened up 3 new shops in the past month. And these are new people opening new businesses in the street. You know, and that's encouraging to see that they've got the confidence to open up a new business in this climate. And they have. And, you know, they're keen, they're young, they want to open a shop. I walked through the street yesterday. I was going out for a meal and I walked right through the full length of the street. And I think there was 4 I counted that were empty. There's another one I'm opening next week. That's going where the art store used to be. But I mean, as far as there's 4, 2 of them are big, big shops and the other 2 were small units. But the others, we've opened 4 in the past month, or 5 next month.
Just going on to a different note, just some of the things that you've mentioned going forward. You talk about creating a smaller, smarter government. What do you mean by that? And also, what did you do when you were in the previous position back in 2016 to help with that?
A smarter government is it's a sort of a cliche catchphrase that they have. You know, it's like, I'll give you an example, okay? So you have, the civil service have grades, okay? So they have a grade for a chief executive, okay? So the chief executive of the post office, 250 people, he's paid £120,000 a year. Okay, so we've got Manx Radio here as a chief executive, and I'm pretty sure he gets paid the same amount of money as the guy in the post office who's got 250 men, and you certainly haven't got 250 men here. So that's just siloed. That's the chief executive's pay. And there's no thing with it. That's the pay salary. It's like one's a policeman, he's a policeman, and policemen get paid so much. There's no workload ethic with either. So it sweeps across the whole of the civil service. You know, it's nonsensical. You know, so to me, that's what needs to be reformed. You know, this grading system, you know, there's no appraisals, there's no nothing. It's just you get the job, you get that grade, and that's that. No question.
Staying with that in particular, you say you've mentioned what it is, what has to be done. Like I say, though, did back in 2016, did you lay any groundwork for that? Or is this something as an idea that has developed over the last few years? And if so, why?
Well, that's probably what brought me in the first place. I didn't get a chance to bring it to fruition in the last government because, I mean, basically, they were shutting everything down when I got there. They were trying to force bills through before the thing, just like they're doing now. They're trying to get a couple of bills through. The government is actually finished by the time I got there. But what I hope to is get part of a new government and hopefully implement some of the changes. You know, it's not just a smarter government. It's some of the quality stuff that we have. You know, I've my job as a mayor, I've had the great privilege of working with people of various charities. You know, you've got people with physical, mental disabilities, you know, sexual problems. And the equality bit is not right. You know, they're not being treated equally. You know, there's no inclusion in them people. You know, they're still kept outside, excluded from the main group of the people that should be the main group, you know. And that's that sort of thing we need, more inclusion into other people, you know, especially race and religion and stuff like that. You know, it's very, the Isle of Man, especially Douglas in itself, is a very, very cosmopolitan place now. And we need to work on that and build in that and build up friendships with these different communities and different groups.
I mean, equality and inclusivity are, you know, of course, important issues, and it's easy to say, but how would you actually go about implementing that in the long run if you're elected?
Well, the first thing is to communicate with them. You know, not to be standoffish.
How does that work specifically?
Well, I mean, once again, I'll go back to being mayor. I've had the Filipino society in, I've had the Polish society in, I've had the Russian society in, the Chinese society in. You know, I get them in and talk to them, and then you find out what they've been doing over here, and they'll start talking to you. They'll trust you, and you'll trust them, and that's it. And that's the way it works. Like anybody else, go and shake somebody's hand and speak to them.
Could you promise to keep that sort of same level of communication
if you were as an MHK?
Because there will be extra responsibilities to come with that. Could you effectively guarantee them that if you were elected?
I've had some very good friendships with some of these people, and it's hopefully it's going to be a long-lasting friendship.